Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Not long now until the 2024 Cheltenham Festival. However, we have got a big weekend still on ITV this Saturday, with Sandown coming your way, as well as some action on the all-weather from Wolverhampton. We've got four races from Sandown that include the Imperial Cup Handicap, and then we have the Lincoln Trial at Wolverhampton, the highlight on the card there at Wolves. I'm joined by a spectacular panel to go through the action today. We've got Keith Melrose, Tom Park and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Ed, I just want to quickly mention, just for the viewers and listeners of the show, if they haven't gone already to watch the Cheltenham Festival preview of the Racing Post and Unibet, they can do so on YouTube. What a night it was on Sunday night.
Yeah, fantastic night. You always know it's a good night when people quote the night in the following pieces of media. Nico de Boinville's coming for quite a lot of quotes about what he said about one or two horses. So well worth looking at that, certainly, because he doesn't just sit on the fence. He does say a few things. Unibet ambassador, obviously. So yeah, great. 45,000 people already watched it. Why don't you join?
Absolutely, yeah. Dave Orton, Paul Keeley, Tom Siegel, Nico de Boinville, Brett Williams and Nicky Henderson. It was really good value. Really enjoyed producing that. You can check that out. I'll put the link in the description for this video. Right, let's crack on to the race, and then we're going to cover Sandown first, Wolverhampton in the second part, and we will have a bit of a Cheltenham chat in the final part of the show. So we start off at Sandown with the 150, which is the 2.5 mile EBF National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final. Markets on screen currently. It's looking like it's going to be a very competitive race, with Hastings towards the top of the market in the JP Silks. We'll get on to the JP at Manus horse at Cheltenham Festival towards the end of the show. Keith, I'll come to you to begin with a difficult race to solve to begin the postcast.
Yeah, very difficult. I mean, it's a great race for next year. A lot of these horses, obviously I do a lot more chases and hurdlers, a lot of these horses are going to be my friends next year, and I've for quite a while had Fire Flyer on my list as a sort of horse that's going to be a really progressive novice chaser next year. He's quite a big horse, Paul Nichols, that sort of type. And he's got really good bumper form coming in. He was second in the listed race at Cheltenham behind Brechin Castle, having got hung across in November and over hurdles since. You know, he's 2-1-1. He's really getting there with by the run. You know, the hurdles form so far has not been on his testing ground. We'll talk about the ground that's quoted as being heavy at Sandown, and we know what Sandown's hurdles track in particular can get like when it's testing. But this horse is a full brother to a horse called Severano, who never quite achieved what he might have done. I think he died before he got to where he needed to be. He's a 150 chaser, really quite, it's exactly the sort of horse that if he'd been in a Paul Nichols yard, might have done exceptionally well. Firefly looks a similar type to me, exactly the sort of horse that goes on to better things next year. And I think he's a very sporting price to win this.
Okay, Firefly to kick things off for Keith Melrose. Tom Park, I'll come to you next. Who do you fancy?
Yeah, I'm with Keith. I'm a Firefly fan. I just think that I'd have been a little bit keener if the ground had been a little bit better. There's just a bit unknown with this heavy surface. But look, he was beaten a neck by Secret Squirrel. I think that's strong form. And he was beaten, he was kicked out of part by Gidley Park. But them two, they might be going on to compete graded race. I mean, Gidley Park's probably got a pretty good chance in the Albert Bartlett, I think. So that's the kind of form that you're playing with here. He's rated 127. I just think he's got loads of scope to be for improvement off that kind of mark. He's the one for me, Firefly.
I didn't mean to say, Parky, when I talked about Severano earlier, I brought him up specifically to mention that he actually had quite a lot of form on softer ground. Just to take this, I know his Fireflyer's form on over hurdles is on better ground, but he's got a full brother who thrived in the soft, which has sort of alleviated my fears in that regard.
Yeah, it's not. I think he's been beaten by good horses on the.
Yeah.
So it isn't a massive concern. I'd have just been.
And Nichols knows what he's getting running a horse at sand and does it on a hurdles track. He's not going to get a road, so he sort of comes in with his eyes open a bit as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been the plan for him for pretty much all the season. I'd imagine they'd have been working backwards from this. So, I think he's got a really good chance.
So two votes for Firefly. Can we get a hat-trick to kick things off on the postcast this week, Ed Nicholson?
Fortunately not, although I think he's got a fantastic chance. I mean, everyone has spoken about Paul Nichols and his liking for Sandown hurdles, and this particular race as well. I've noticed he has worked back for his horses in this race in over the years, so he does like to lay one out for this, and Firefly does look like a likely type. But I'm going to go for the other one at the top of the market, and that's Hastings, who's another horse I think is way ahead of his handicap. Mark, this race is a really good race, as Keith said, to look at for the future for both, you know, chases next year, novice chases, and even top handicap hurdles. It really is a race worth looking at. Hastings looks to me like a horse who's much better capable than his current mark of 1.19. He won two bumpers in France. He'll love the ground. Beaten with a double penalty when he came over to the UK. I do think that there's a bit more to come from him. I think his hurdling needs to improve. He was disappointing last time, no doubt. But I think we might see a different horse today, on Saturday. And it's interesting that JP, who we'll talk about no doubt later on, does like the sire. I noticed he's got quite a few Connick Turf Group 2, Group 3 winner in Germany, but he's got Darasso, Sully Dock, Front View have all won plenty of races for him. And it's interesting when an owner does get onto a sire, and JP's got onto this sire, and Hastings, I think, has got a great chance. Might be a bit skinny now, around about 4-5 to 1. He was 10 to 1 on the 5-day stage, but I still think he'd be the selection.
Okay, Hastings, Fred Nicholson then, and two votes for Firefly from the Racing Post, gents. Let's move on to the 2.25 then, which is the Imperial Cup handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Another competitive handicap to get stuck into here, and I tell you what, there's some horses in here who have let me down in previous runs, especially Bad, who I'm sure the gents will mention in a second. But you've got the likes of Go Dante in here, you've got Spirit Donu, who I was really strong on for the Betfair hurdle. It all went wrong then. No doubt it will probably come together when I don't back him this time around. Ed, I'm sure there may be some extra places or offers in this race. What have you got?
Extra place in this race, and it is one of those races that you do need an extra place. Very competitive. We talked about Bad. He's been naughty, not just bad, of late. I think he should have won last time at Ascot. Yes. I really do. I was there that day. I watched it, and I went away cheering because I thought it was my selection. I thought he'd won. Disappointing. So I won't be backing Bad again, but I will be backing his stablemate, Chipcop, who I thought ran a really good race last time out. Hasn't been reassessed by the handicapper yet. He could be well in. In fact, I think he's definitely well in. I think he might go up 12 or 14 pounds. He's only got a £7 penalty here. That was reverting back to hurdles, having disappointed over fences. He started his career in the UK in the two grade ones last year in the big festivals at Cheltenham and Aintree. He just might be well ahead of the handicapper. Trainer's still in great form, Ben Pooling, four winners from 22 runners in the last 14 days. So everything points. If you watch the race, go back and watch the replay on Racing Post. It just goes through that Huntingdon race like a dream. Quickens between the two last hurdles. Still hits the last hurdle. Still looks green to me, and went away. So as long as he's all right, having not run too long ago, I think Gipcott is a really good bet here.
Okay, Gipcott for the informed Ben Pooling stable. There's no doubt if Ballyburn were to switch to the Gallagher Novices hurdle, I think his runner, Teller the Name in the Supreme, is going to come for a fair bit of money on the opening day of the festival. So yeah, Gipcott for Ed Nicholson. Tom Park, to you next. Please don't tell me you're a bad backer.
To be honest, I have not been a bad backer.
He is bad.
I've got this funny theory, and I have no, this is kind of a G-Rod kind of thing, this, but look, he had a wind up a couple of starts ago. He definitely had problems with his breathing before. And I just wonder, the way he kind of was looking around at Ascot on that finishing straight, I just wonder if he's like thinking, like, Jesus, I can breathe again. And I'm happy to kind of just give him another chance. Because, look, this is a properly talented horse. And he's miles better than 126. He's miles better than him. I dare say if he had £10 extra on his back that day, he'd have probably still come there cruising. He's really well handicapped. I think the makeup of the race will really suit him. I think Knickerbocker Glory, I think, might go well at a good price. He's got conditions in his favour as an each way like alternative, but I think he's going to go hard. He loves the conditions. I think that's going to just give Bad a really lovely toe into the race because he'll be kind of up there at the pace. I think there'll be half of these will have given up by the time that you get round to where like the pond fences on the chase track. I think I'm setting myself up here because I really like him. I just think he's really well handicapped. I wasn't slagging him off like as much as people were. Ascot. I just thought that was a much better run. He should have gone past, but I'm happy to give him another chance. And to be honest, I'll have a go on the forecast because I think Knickerbocker Glory might just chase him home, and I think it'll be a grueling contest, and they'll have them all beat by a long way out. So yeah, I'm going to go bad, followed by Knickerbocker Glory.
As the producer of this show, I'm going to just tell myself to clip that up with regards to bad, ready for Twitter, Tom Park. So we'll just wait and see whether that will come true. Keith Melrose, I'll come to you. You're the final selection in the Imperial Cup.
Yeah, I do like the second time. It's a bit to me like the bounce theory and the rational side of your brain screaming, this is surely cobblers. But you do see examples where it actually works. Like I've seen a few chases myself this year. I've gone, I wonder if that thing's just realised it can breathe. But no, they've got Bad. He's a sort of, I've fallen for Bads many a time, so I'm going to steer clear of him. It's actually, you know, essentially a knock to 140 this year, the Imperial Cup. And horse I've got my eye on, I'm surprised you don't fancy him, Sam. You know, a big fan of the Gary Moore. You had the top weight, Spirit Banu.
Yes, he's, I know.
He's unbeaten at the track. He loves the testing ground here. Got an awful hit for winning here in December, and there is just a little worry that that run might have finished him for the season. They were out on their feet that day. Yeah. He's only run once in the Betfair Hurdle, and he didn't go a yard. But it was sensible to give him that 2 month break. They can do no more than that. He's getting the £5 off you for Freddie Mitchell. It is clearly a lesser race than the Betfair Hurdle because it's essentially a knock to 140. Iberico Lord, who won the Betfair Hurdle, is going to run in the Champion Hurdle on Tuesday. It's a much lesser race. Freddie Mitchell's a pretty good claiming jockey. Just a lot in this horse's favour. And if he was coming here almost straight out of that Sandown race, he's 8-1. Mm-hmm. So and he's not any worse at the track for having run at Newbury. So I just think that price that's currently going, when you're getting prices in the teens, that's too big. So I think each way Spirit Dinner, especially with, you know, the extra places you're being offered, mm-hmm. is the way to go.
Yeah, you're going to get those extra places with Unibet there on Spirit Dinner. I actually napped the horse up for the Betfair Hurdle. I was really keen on this horse, Keith, and I backed to this horse at Sandown as well when he won. And you've just tempted me. I was going to leave him alone, but you might have just tempted me to stay with him one last time. We'll just wait and see. So,
but you're not tempted on Bads, to be clear.
No, definitely not tempted by Bad. I mean, Parky's made his case, but definitely not. But yeah, Spirit Danu may be the bet in this race. Go on, Ed.
What happened in the Betfair Hurdle? Because he was really well fancied, not just
was.
By you.
He was. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. It wasn't his running. I spoke to one of the lads at the stable and said that they were very disappointed because they did fancy him that day. I don't think that was his true running, like Keith said. I think he's a lot better than that. I think the switch back to Sandown may help this horse. I haven't actually had a word from them yet, as of yet. But yeah, look,
they went very hard in the Betfair, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
It was grueling conditions. I think like you could forgive a few horses in that race for there was quite a lot didn't get into it. And yeah, I think Sandown definitely will suit him a lot better than Newbury. I could see him running well as well.
Yeah, I think in their mind, I think they do think that he could potentially be a graded horse in the future for sure. So we'll just wait and see. But yeah, that's the 2:25, the Imperial Cup. Let's move on to the 3:00 at Sandown, which is a rare race for us to cover on the postcast. Not often we'd cover a National Hunt flat race, but this is a listed contest over 2 miles. And again, you're not going to get many short prices on this week's postcast at all. This is going to be ultra competitive and really difficult to solve with some of these horses only having couple of runs. Ed, I'll start with you on this one. Who do you fancy in this?
Well, first of all, the price boost will be available at 9:00 on Saturday in this race. So do go to the unibet.co.uk site for all the latest information on that. I mean, you know, we've got two form gurus with us today, and it'll be interesting what they think because there's no form to go on. But it's quite a difficult race to call given this podcast. But my eye was taken to Honky Tonk Highway for a couple of reasons. Dan Skelton bought this after it won its Irish point to point for Colin Bowe for 165,000. She won that day. The second has won for Ben Pauling since. The third won two races, then won Bluey. So the form of that Irish point to point is okay at the very least, good probably. And Dan Skelton, Harry Skelton, the Skelton team, they do like a nice mare, don't they? Over the years, you can think of these mares. They've obviously thought a lot of this because they haven't, you know, it hasn't run for a long time. Obviously hasn't run for Skelton at all. I just thought that was worth looking at. I noticed significant early money as well on Thursday, sevens into fives across the industry, which I kind of take that on board when you've got very, very little form to go on. So it can only be a guess, but Honky Tonk Highway at around about 5-1 would be the selection.
Okay, Honky Tonk Highway. Look, these are all going to be horses for the future for sure. Some, there could be some really exciting horses in here, no doubt. Keith Melrose, I'm going to come to you. Like Ed said, there's not really much form you can go on, but who do you like?
No, you've got to take a bit of a flatter extent with some of these horses. I mean, the one I picked out that caught my eye was about the Sunset Marquesa for the Tizard Stable. Fourth in a Cheltenham listed race at the November meeting, and the time of that was pretty good. And the form, as you can imagine, for a Cheltenham race has worked out pretty well. Mullins trained, the winner's not been seen since, but you know the horses that finished right in front of her and just behind her have all gone and won over hurdles or won a bumper since. So the form's working out pretty well to go with a pretty decent time. And then she had a couple of months off, 2.5 months, I think, and then ran in the George Swinbank, at Market Raisin. Still green, you know, she hung left as she started to stay on there, and that gave away the ground. Never meant she could never catch the first and second, but she was doing good work at the finish. Sandown's probably going to suit her better. She is bred to stay a little bit further, as most of them will be, but she just showed that day that she handles pretty deep ground and is going to suit the stiff uphill finish at Sandown. With that Cheltenham form and a good time to back it up, I thought she was a very sporting bet. But as you say, you're taking a lot on trust in one of these bumpers.
Absolutely. So Sunset Marquesa for Keith in the 3 o'clock. And Tom Park finishes off in the National Hunt Flat Race.
Yeah, tough without a lot of form to go off. But I just think Ben Paulin's got... His bumper horses seem to be really, really good this season. Real stellar bunch. He seems to be winning bumpers all over the place. And I've got a feeling that he's going to quite carefully, like... maneuver his good ones to kind of win races like this. So I'm going to give Magical Annie a chance here. Happy to forgive a poor run in a listed race at Doncaster. She was good first time out. I think that was in Ireland. Moved to Ben Paulin. She was well backed at Doncaster. Went off 11-4 favourite. I think the report says that she made some sort of noise. Hasn't had a window, but... you'd imagine they've got to the bottom of it. I just think with not a lot of form to go off, I'm happy to trust Ben Paulin given how many kind of winners he's had. And this is a decent race, and you would expect that he's probably pitched a good one at it. So, yeah, Magical Annie for me.
Magical Annie could be the Ben Paulin show at Sandown on Saturday. The 3:35 is the final race we look at from Sandown. This is a novice's handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Golden Sun looks like the horse is going to be topping the market around 3-1, 7-2. Gary Moore stuck two in here. They're going to be very interesting with Niall Houlihan and David Noonan taking the rides there. And there are obviously another five in the field who can also, you can make some good cases for. Keith, to you first. Gary Moore, you know how much I love Gary Moore. You're going to sway me into one of these?
Well, I hope so. I was disappointed you weren't already fancying one and had the word, because after his last run, I wrote in my notes, is this Gary Moore's for the novice handicap chase on Imperial Cup Day? And I wrote that beside Cotmask when he won at Plumpton, because the horse has already won at Sandown this winter. He won late January over 2 miles here. Just looks like a really progressive horse. He had at Plumpton last time when he won since. He beat Scarface, who reopposes today. It was a fast finish that day. He had time to miss the last and still won pretty handily. Just looks like a horse that he was going to go back to Sandown with and try and win this race. And I don't think it's a particularly strong race. Golden Sun, as you say, is the favourite. He's going to be popular because he beat Cheltenham at Kempton a couple of weeks back. But this is a very different race. That was better ground. It was a bit of a speed test, quite a fast finish. This is deep ground. Sandown, they tend to finish at about 90% of the overall race pace. It gets quite attritional here. This isn't necessarily going to suit Golden Sun quite so much, who had blobbed a couple of times earlier in the season too. So I think not only is this not a particularly deep race, it's also got a potentially dodgy favourite under these conditions. So Cotmask, who's got a course form, looks progressive, trainer who loves to target a race at this track, he's a pretty strong fancy for me.
Okay, cop mask for Keith. I have messaged the person who gives me any information on the Gary Moore horses. So if I can get that before the end of the show, I will read it out. Tom Park, I'll come to you. The final race we look at from Sandown, who do you like?
Yeah, I think Keith makes a good argument for cop mask. I'm going to stick with the form line because the Scarface is double the price of cop mask here. He's got, I'm just working it out now, so... He's up £2 for that plump.
It's £3 swing in his favour, I think.
Yeah, and then you take away the fact that he had a claimer on, did he, that day, Plumpton cop mask, which he wouldn't today. So does that make it six?
With Jeff, because Caelan Quinn's three is.
He hasn't got an awful lot to find. It was a small run of field. Look, a length and a quarter. I've always thought Scarface would prove a good bit better than 125. I'm happy to kind of trust that form line, and just don't think that Scarface, it should be twice the price. But yeah, I haven't got an overly strong opinion. I was quite keen on Venetia's other horse that was running here that hasn't been declared. But yeah, I'm happy to give Scarface another go, I think. I did actually back him at Plumpton that day, so maybe it's a little bit of, maybe I'm becoming a little bit attached. But yeah, I'm happy to give him another chance.
Okay, well, that's the other thing actually about Golden Sun. Actually, he's inherited favouritism because Mortador, the Venetia horse, yes. Parky was talking about there, hasn't been declared.
That's it. So yeah, it's going to be a tentative selection for Parky, but it'll be a double figure price on Scarface. And Ed Nixon, you're going to finish us off in the first part with a winner at Sandown.
Well, I'm actually not going to go for a win bet. I'm going to go for an each way bet, if that's allowed.
Of course.
I think this race will just I think it will suit a particular horse in this race that on form he can't win. But I think the way he runs his races and the fact he's up half a mile suggests he might get placed. He's been placed in seven of ways, but he's come first, second or third in seven of his 10 races. He's got bottom weight, which I always like in a handicap chase, 10 stone two. Dr. T.J. Eckelberg won at Ludlow. He came second at Chepstow last time. And I spoke to Evan Williams afterwards because I've always worried about this horse. He doesn't put it all in, given those number of times he comes second or third. So I actually asked Evan, which is a brave thing to do, whether he thought his horse didn't put it all in. And he actually said, no, he goes, I just think he needs a really fast pace. He needs to come there late. That's why he comes so close, seconds and thirds. He doesn't win, he isn't won by far. When he won at Ludlow, I think he won by less than a head, I seem to remember. And I just thought this step up to half a mile, half past, two and a half, that run at Chepstow, if you viewers get a chance to look at the Racing Post replay, he's miles back and he runs on. So I think there might be a race up front to win, and he might come through and pick up the pieces. And at 25-1, he's a complete outsider with eight runners, dead eight, 1, 2, 3. That will be my each way selection. So Dr. T.J. Eckelberg, each way.
We don't mind that at all, Ed. A 25-1 shot, Dr. T.J. Eckelberg in the 3:35 at Sandown. So there we go. That's it for our first part. We've got a brand new members club offer on at the moment. £10 a month for the first 3 months. Check this out. Welcome back to part two of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've still got Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Tom Park and Unibet's Ed Nicholson steering you through the weekend action on ITV. We head to Wolverhampton now on the all-weather for two races there. And we start off with the 240. It's the opener on their card, which is the Lady Wolferon Stakes over 7 furlongs. And should have been a ring, is probably going to be the shortest price favourite we have on the postcast this week at around 6-4, 13-8. You've then got Dr. Khan Jr. in there, 9/10 is in here. Mum's Tipple, my word, what happened to Mum's Tipple? Misty Grey, an intervention for the Mick Appleyard, 40-1, who often do well on the all-weather. Parky, I'm going to start with you. Should have been a ring. Short price favourite. Is it going to win?
Yes, I think it will win. It's funny you mentioned Mum's Tipple. You'd be absolutely gutted if you were the owner turning down like 7 figures for that horse when it was a juvenile. Yeah. But yeah, we'll save my pain. I think should have been a ring. Should win. I think she's a class above these. Is it he or she? I better check that. It's a he. He should be a class above these. just the one thing that's stopping me kind of getting involved, I think, in this race is just the others have fitness on the side. And at a short price, it's enough to kind of put me off. But he is the class of the field, and all being well, he should be too good for these.
Okay, yeah, should have been a ring to kick things off. Ed, I'll come to you next. I didn't know whether you were going to step in then after unmuting the mic on Mum's Tipple.
No, I was just interested in the conversation because Richard Hannon's our ambassador, and I remember being at the stable and saying the same thing about Mum's Tipple to him. But Richard said, "Don't worry, the owner's got plenty of money. it doesn't really matter." And he also buys a horse every year for his mum, which is why it's called Mum's Tipple. And so the mum got attached to it, and he didn't want to sell it. But mind you, if my mum got attached to a horse that I was offered millions for, I would sell it straight away. So, but in this race, I fancy Hannon's other horse. Obviously, should have a ring. I mean, 13-8. I thought that was a good price. He's rated much higher than his opponents here. He's been placed in two Group One races. Last two races he's had, he's won when off the track for a long time. I noted 105 days and 98 days break. Both times he's won following those long periods off the track. He's got a fair draw. The all weather is something. He's been running on turf that you would be slightly worried about. I'm not worried about the time off the track. I just thought he was a good bet, really.
Absolutely. I mean, if this horse is ready, go back and look at this horse's last run. It was actually at Longchamp on Arc Weekend in the Prix de la Forêt. It was behind Kalina and Kinross, beating the horses like Pogo, King Gold, who's very good out in France. You've got Happy Romance within there, Saturn, who was a Group 1 winner. These are really top-class horses, there's no doubt about it. Keith, are you in agreement with Ed that this could be actually a fair price about this horse?
Yeah, I would not be remotely surprised if he was to win this by a couple of lengths, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's that lack of a run is a little bit of a, an unknown, but as Ed points out, the horse has won fresh. Hannon's won this race often enough. He obviously is. He's not doing it for without good reason, putting the horse in this race. So I would not be at all surprised if should have been a ring win and won. And, that Foray run, it showed that the Sprint Cup second wasn't a fluke. That day he followed regional all the way through the race. And at the time, I thought, well, is that just where the place was to be at Haydock that day? But the 40 run suggests not so. I mean, for that reason, I'm not going to have, I wouldn't be having a proper bet in this race, but I would like to draw attention maybe to Misty Gray, a big, big price. The form on which this horse is much shorter than 20s, which is the sort of price you're getting as we look at it, is not ancient history by any means. And this is only his second run since going to David O'Mara from Tom Dascombe. Now, that would be a positive trainer change in most people's eyes, and this horse has got loads of form on the all weather. He's a proper 7 furlong horse, good draw in two, and as I say, the form, even last summer's form, he would be competitive with everything but should have been a ring. So if O'Mara on his second run for the yard, he can bring him back a bit closer, can see this horse would be getting placed at a price. But I think that's the way to play this race if you're not going in heavily on should have been a ring, because that horse might just pick them up and carry them. Misty Gray probably shouldn't be a rag if O'Mara's got him back.
Okay, yeah, all in agreement that should have been a ring is probably the most likely winner, but a good word there for Misty Gray from Keith Melrose in the 240 at Wolverhampton. One more race to come from Wolverhampton, which is actually the Lincoln Trial Handicap. And we say Cheltenham's not far away, and the Lincoln won't be far away at all. This is a Class 2 handicap, just over a mile here, and yeah, you're going to get a price about all of these runners around 6-1 the field by the looks of things. I'm actually going to be nappy in this race, so I won't make my case until the end. But who should start? Ed, I'll start with you. What have we got? Any offers in this race, and who do you like?
Yeah, price boost from 9 a.m. On the day of the race. Might be a few other offers on this as well, looking at how competitive it is, 4-9-2 the field. In fact, nearly every race this weekend is competitive, isn't it? Cheltenham. Plenty of opportunities to back good price winners. So this 3:15, the Lincoln Trial, we used to sponsor the Lincoln, and I remember always being tuned into this race. And there's some good horses in this race. They will get into the Lincoln if they want to. My eye was drawn to King's Code. It's a very competitive race. It's a speculative choice. Won his last two. He's done very well since going to David Evans. I think he's 6-12 since he's been with that that stable, and five of those wins have been on the all weather. Holly Doyle takes over from Rosser, I think, who rode him last time. Won by short distance on both those last two occasions, although last time there was four lengths back to the third. So the handicapper probably is okay with it. This will be the highest rating he's ever won off, which is a concern with me. But he's around about 7-8 to 1. I thought he looked a decent bet. Got a good draw. I like horses drawn in 6, 7, and 8 at Wolverhampton for reasons I won't go into, but over kind of this sort of trip as well. So I think everything points to a good run for Kim's Code, but it is a really competitive race. I would be surprised to see nearly any of these horses winning. But yeah, speculative choice in King's Code.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not actually going to be an easy weekend to nap a horse at all. If we do get the lucky 15 up this weekend, it's going to pay a hell of a lot. Keith, I'll come to you next. Who do you like in the Lincoln Trial?
Well, I'm now in the position that Parky was and we're talking about the novice handicap chase, because I like the form line of the horse Ed's just talked up, but I'm going to take the one that he beat. Smoky Mountain has jumped out at me a little bit. He got beat ahead, short ahead by King's Code in that race at Southall, got caught in the final stride, but he's £6 better off now with that horse. Drawn better now too. He's drawn right in one, tends to get raced prominently, so I quite like where he's drawn to this. He's been quite progressive all winter, really, this horse. And yes, the fact, I think maybe people might get put off by the fact that when he stepped up to a mile, he got caught in the final stride, but he was still going away from the rest. You know, it wasn't like he was fading and came back to King's Code. King's Code came and got him, but we've seen that horse was very progressive, and obviously he's won again since Smoky Mountains by Frankel, yes, out of a sprinter, but I just think a mile and extended mile around the sharp track is going to be absolutely fine for him. Plum draw, Harry Davies taking the ride, a lot in his favour, and I think he's sort of waited to get one back on King's Code and has a lot going for him besides.
Okay, so one vote for King's Code, one vote for Smoky Mountain, and one vote on Park 2?
Smoky Mountain, yeah. Yeah, I'm actually quite keen on Smoky Mountain here. Echo everything that Keith said. He got a taster at Doncaster last year, beaten by a good, decent James Tate yardstick. I know when James Tate did the weekend of stable tour, he gave that horse quite a write-up, so I think you can trust that form. It was second to it. He's been campaigned on the all-weather since. I think they've been trying to get him up the weights, because I think the Lincoln has been kind of the big plan, given that he had that run at Doncaster. He might struggle to get in. He'll definitely need to win this, and even then he might still struggle. But yeah, I just think, look, he's been favourite for 6 of his 8 starts. They clearly think he's pretty good. I think the extra half furlong, like Keith said, being by Frankel, I think will play really into his strengths. It doesn't really concern me, the fact that he got beat by King's Code last time. The fact that King's Code's a little bit shorter in the betting, I'm just surprised at. Like, there was only a short head in it. I had more reason to think, coming out of that even if they were to run that race again off the same weights, that Smoky Mountain probably beat King's Code next time. But he's getting £8 today, where he only got £2 that day. That's a £6 swing. Good record at the track. I think he's 2-1, 2-1. I think there's plenty to like, and he's a big old price. I like Smoky Mountain here a lot.
Okay, Smoky Mountain, 2 votes for this horse in the Lincoln Trial, and I'll give mine at the end of the show. So that's it for part 2 of the podcast. We've got Cheltenham chat and our naps coming right up.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet's Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Tom Park and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. We've spun you through the weekend action, but something a bit different on this week's show, with Cheltenham just around the corner. Rather than going to the kind of any other bets for the weekend, it's probably worth having a look ahead to the festival and some big news with regards to the Cheltenham Festival, with JP McManus, with Meeting of the Waters being purchased, the current Ultima Handicap Chase favourite, and it's on the line, the Festival Hunters Chase, I think it's second favourite, may have been backed into favourite now for that race. And also putting Iberico Lord into the champion hurdle. A really fascinating move, this, from JP McManus. It sounds like it could become the JP McManus Festival. Ed, I'll come to you, because obviously with Nicky Henderson declaring Iberico Lord and putting this horse into the champion hurdle, it is an interesting horse in here.
Yeah, if anybody wants to know more about it, listen to the Racing Post Unibet Cheltenham Festival preview, because we do talk about it quite extensively. Tom Seagill has some interesting comments to make about it before he was then supplemented for the Unibet Champion Hurdles. I think he's got a cracking chance. I think they all know at home they've got a horse who's improving. I think, is he rated 143? So the county would have been the obvious choice. And we know a few horses that have gone to the county and then won the Unibet Champion Hurdle the following year, don't we? If he was mine, I'd probably still keep him for the county, because he'll get the fast pace. He'll be able to lob along and then hopefully do him for toe at the end. I worry about the pace for this year's race, the Unibet Champion Hurdle. If it's a fast pace, I think he'll go very close. I really do. Tom Seagull said something really interesting, a spoiler alert, but he reckons he was the second best English horse over 2 miles, yeah, even though he's rated 143. So I think he's got a chance. He's 14-1 with Unibet to win the Unibet Champion Hurdle.
Big prize.
I think it's a big prize. I think he could sneak a place. Whether he can win, I don't know.
No.
And I do worry about the pace of the race. But yeah, Iberico Lord already won two Unibet sponsored races, could win a third.
Oh yeah, you look at it currently, and if Lossy Mouth comes out of this race, which is probably more than likely, you know, looking at the race, you'd have State Man in here, potentially Irish Point, and then if we're saying this horse is the second best, you know, British kind of 2 mile hurdle, then Iberico Lord is a big price in here, potentially to hit the frame in third. So it really is fascinating. Tom Park, I don't know whether you want to talk about the JP McManus news, whether Iberico Lord or even the two big purchases yesterday.
Yeah, I think Iberico Lord's interesting as well. Like, he's probably going to get I think the big reason for this is probably the conditions. His one bad run this season came on fast ground at Ascot. I think he needs it as soft as you can get it. I think he also needs a really strong pace, and if Not So Sleepy is going to go, like Not So Sleepy often does, he's going to get the race set up for him. I agree. I think 14-1 is big. I think State Man is obviously going to be tough to beat, but you know, you look more into State Man's form, and like, he's beating the horses that he should beat in Ireland. I'm not saying he is the obvious winner, but I think probably the player in the champion early is looking for something a bit bigger. And now that Iberico Lord's been entered, I think he's got half a squeak. And as I said, I'd be surprised if he isn't challenging for third. I think he'll definitely be staying on, and if the softer the conditions, the better for him. I do think his absence in the county hurdle is interesting, because I'm really big fan of Under Control. I think she's so well handicapped. Was all over for Kelso last week. I backed her for the county hurdle before that on the basis that if she'd have won last week, which I expected her to do, she'd have been a skinny price with that 100k bonus to kind of land. She obviously got ruled out of Kelso on veterinary advice, but they never actually gave a specific reason as to what that is. And I kind of thought, I know what Henderson and Nico, they were kind of hatching some plan for the summer for her on the preview the other night, but now that Iberico Lord's come out of the county, I think it sets it up for her. I think they think she's very, very good. She's really well handicapped off 138. I think she's a proper grade one mare. I just think that she's not quite champion hurdle class, and I think if the mare's hurdle was over 2 miles, she'd probably definitely be running there, and would have a right chance in it as well. I think 138, she's got a massive chance. And another one in the handicap, which I've kind of warmed around to, is a few people through Shudies have kind of mentioned him, and it's pretty obvious where it's come from, but that's Harper's Brook in the Grand Annual. Like, I know I've made that case for Bad, and you might be thinking, oh, what are you doing? These Ben Pauling things that kind of stop themselves. But yeah, I just think that this is like a Sky Pirate times two, isn't it? Like, ran in the Ultima last year. No chance of staying there. I think this has got a right chance, Harper's Brook. I think they've finally found out that 2 miles is trip. I know he stopped rather quickly at Ascot, but perhaps that's him just going enough's enough.
Is it not more the case that 2 miles, throwing your head in there at the end doesn't matter so much over 2 miles?
Yeah, well, I think Frank Hickey was talking about it the other day, and I absolutely agree with him. If you've got a horse, he was asked, how would you ride it? Like, I would go for the
Oh, you're bouncing back. They'll ride them.
Yeah.
One of the horses that won the same race, the 10-year-old a couple of years ago, I've forgotten his name now, but the same colours. Yeah, won that race. They'll ride them the same.
I think just absolutely gung-ho and try and get everything beat 3 out, and hopefully he doesn't decide to pull himself up on the running. But yeah, I'm warm to it. Like, I mean, there was 20s, and there's a few shooties kind of putting him up, and he's halved in price. But I'm warm into the Harper's Brook camp big time, to be honest. Harper's Brook and Under Control are my two, like, real handicap naps for the meeting.
Perfect. I'm just having a look, Parky, for someone who hasn't put Harper's Brook up for the Grand Annual in the last couple of weeks. Honestly, like you say, there's so many shrewdies have been putting this horse up for this race. Keith,
it's an obvious case.
It is so obvious. There's a lot of them. Keith, I'll come to you. You're a man who absolutely loves the big handicaps at Cheltenham, no doubt. So is there any that have caught your eye and any that you really fancy next week?
Well, the Grand Annual, every time I look at that race, I spot another 3 plot jobs. It could be a really hot Grand Annual this year. As we're recording this, we've not long had news through that Evan Williams has booked Harry Cobden to ride Liberty Hunter, which is big news to me. I've been across that horse for quite a while. And the fact that it's going to be softer ground helps me out a little bit. Just looks like a horse who's set for, you know, big top handicaps, and the way the 2 mile chase division is might even end up in graded races. He'd be unbeaten over fence if he hadn't fallen at Chepstow. He's already won at Cheltenham, beating Matata, who I believe is going to run in the Arco. But you know, so that he's the one I would have picked out for that. But there's so many you can make a case for in that Grand Annual. I was disappointed yesterday because the big Yahoo headline I had lined up since January was about a greatness for the Ultima. He's been taken out the Ultima. But he's still in the Kim. He's still in the Kim Muir because they've got Shaking Up Harry. The same owners have got Shaking Up Harry for the Ultima. I suspect they're shuffling their pack, and they're going to put Bout of Greatness hopefully in the Kim Muir. I'll be livid if he runs in the 4 miler. It's much harder race for him to win on those terms. So hopefully he runs in the Kim Muir. I'll still be very keen on him. I won't win as much money if he wins, but it's sensible. It's the easier race. And this horse, I saw a quote from Harry reading that today, and he gave the game away a bit. That run in the old Racing Post Chase at Kempton, he'd been entered twice at Ascot the week before. That wasn't a run there for that would be in the day. That was a run because this horse needed a run before Cheltenham. He came widest round the field, made his move at the fastest part of the race, and still tanked all over them. I thought I was really impressed. Every time that horse has run over 3 miles, he's looked right. He's going to win a big 3 mile chase. And I hope he'll do it at Cheltenham. And it'll have to be in the Kim Muir now, unfortunately, even though I said the Ultimate to begin with. But if he does, it'll still be a cracking result. Flip side of that is a horse called We've All Been Caught by the Twisting Davies. Mm-hmm. I think you're seeing Willie's influence in the yard coming through and how they've campaigned this horse. After he had a bit of a heart issue when he was favourite here in the December meeting, they've put him away for the festival. I don't think the Nigel Twisting Davies of 10, 20 years ago would have done that. I think he'd have kept running him. But I think we're sort of more modern methods of Willie coming through and going to have the joint licence maybe next season. I think they've gone, right, let's put him away. 134, this horse went off joint favourite or 7-2, certainly short price for a grade one novice hurdle at the DRF last year when he went across to take on the Irish novice hurdlers. He's almost certainly a better horse than 134. You know, he was sort of getting lined up in races that his stablemate Broadway Boy won earlier in the season, and I think he's maybe one I'd be looking at for the Ultima. And just to round off, because I'm going to the 4 handicap chases, not the cross country, they're going to be my big betting races in a week. So it's not an original one, but to complete the set, if Theatre Man wins the plate, he just looked like a horse ready to win a big handicap when he was second in that one on trials day.
Keith, I've got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Has Willie Mullins ever won a handicap chase at Cheltenham?
I believe not. I believe he's never won any of them.
I don't think he has.
I find that amazing.
It is.
Well, it's certainly until quite recently, Mullins wasn't really known for the longevity of his horses, really. And that will be part of the reason it's there, you know. The handicap hurdles he wins, you know, there isn't a chasing equivalent to State Man, really, is there? You know, you can't just get these things lined up the way he's done it. So I think that's why it's still surprising that he's never done it. The man's won 94 Cheltenham Festival races, and none of them have been a handicap chase. That's good. I mean, I watch a lot more British racing than Irish, and I watch a lot of chases, so I'm quite happy Mullins leaves the handicap chases at Cheltenham alone. If he was targeting them, I'd be tearing my head out, I think. But yeah, it's a really interesting fact that he's, you know, that's 15% in the meeting. He's won 94 races, and he's never touched those races.
It's a crazy stat, really is. That could change this year. We just never know. Well, there we go. There's a bit of Cheltenham chat from the gents. I just wanted to mention, because I could have got Ed's selections there, and it's not because I don't respect Ed's selections, but Ed is going to be back on Monday with myself. So Monday morning at 11 a.m, we've got a special video coming your way with Unibet having our official Cheltenham preview. We're going to do a top five bets of the festival special postcast, which will be really short, really snappy. Myself, Ed, Graham Robway and Robbie Wilders. That's going to be a cracking video. You'll also get all of Unibet's big offers for the week as well. So definitely tune into that Monday at 11 a.m. Right, time to get the best bets for the weekend then. Let's see who the panel fancies their best bets. And Keith Melrose, I'll start with you.
Yeah, Copmask, 335 Sandown. I made quite an impassioned case for him, and that'll still stand. I just think he looked like the horse for this race when he won last time, and nothing I've seen changes it. I don't think it's a great field.
Okay, Copmask 4, Keith Melrose. Tom Park, to you.
Yeah, I was going to be very bad and not bad, but thankfully someone else wants to nap in the Imperial Cup. So that's music to my ears, because it probably isn't the wisest thing to do, napping bad. So I will nap Fireflyer in the 150 at Sandown, for reasons mentioned earlier. I think that he's a really progressive novice, and I think he'll take all the beating.
Okay, there we go. Ed Nicholson, I'll come to you. Who's your nap this weekend?
It's going to be Gyp Cop in the Imperial Cup. I think he's stables in form. Ben Pauling, 4 winners from 22 runners in the last 14 days. He's in form, won really well last time out. Got a penalty, but I'm almost sure he'll go up a further £7 or thereabouts. So well handicapped, likes the ground, relatively new to hurdling. He's come back to hurdling, being chasing. I think he's got a lot going for him. So Gyp Cop in the Imperial Cup.
Okay, Gyp Cop in the Imperial Cup. And I'm in a nap. I'm probably going to take some stick for this, but I'm going to nap up in the Lincoln Troll handicap. And I think the 8-year-old Sir Busker, I think this has been a massive, massive plan, this race. I genuinely do. I was just looking back at his form, but you go look at that Winter Derby trial at Southwell. Enemy, who won that race, has come out and finished second in the Red Sea Turf handicap out in Riyadh. That was a really strong race. And Military Order, the one that was second in the trial, actually went on to win the Winter Derby. The Foxes was a bit disappointed in Riyadh, but you can probably make excuses there. Sabuska stays in a mark of 103 and has Brandon Wilkie taken off £5. I don't think they're aiming this horse at the Lincoln. I think this is just the plan to win this race on the all weather. They've been aiming for this, I'm pretty sure of this, and absolutely love the William Knight stable as well. So I think Sabuska, massive chance. This is probably the last chance I'm going to give him, otherwise I think it's time to call it a day. But I do think Sir Busker, 103 with a £5 claim on, massive chance this weekend. So there we go, that is it, our final postcast prior, well I say that, final postcast for the weekend, previews prior to the Cheltenham Festival. Like I say, don't forget to join us on Monday at 11 a.m. with myself and Ed. We'll be up early recording that, and that will be out to you, and a really, really good video. And listen, big thanks to Keith Melrose, Tom Park and Ed. As always, enjoy your weekend, and we will see you again on Monday for another postcast.